Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Woodward Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am a handicapped host, James Cox, and I have another guest, awesome guest for you to enjoy listening to and watching on YouTube. So make sure you follow us on YouTube. Chill Panic is his YouTube name. He's amassed quite a following. He is a musician, a music producer, music influencer, and he does commentary and he produces his own music, like I just said, in multiple ways. So, Chill Panic, what's up, man? What's up, dude?
What's goody?
All right. Not much. So, so I've been, you contacted me through Podmatch, and I want to thank you because Podmatch has brought me some major, very great musicians, and you're one of them, and I can't wait to talk to you, you know?
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but first of all, I want to ask you since you're on here now, what made you want to email us and want to become on this podcast? Because I know you found us through Podmatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, to be real, I think I'm a bit of a narcissist. It's like, I always have these like, I'm sorry. Can I cuss on here? I didn't even think about
you
that.
You sure can. Okay. I can edit. I can edit, man. Yeah. So you're good to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for a while, kind of like ever since I decided I wanted to be a musician and like do it professionally, I always have these like daydreams of being in podcasts and stuff. And then I just kind of started thinking that like one day that could actually happen. And then I'm like, I'm not very good at talking. So yeah. I was just like, I need to get on as many podcasts as possible and just like start kind of flexing that muscle.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to learn how to talk, I guess.
Well, you and me are the exact opposite, you know, because I've talked in front of like 200 people. I've been a keynote speaker for this and that, you know, but I can't really do music well, you know, and I wish I had your ability to do that. I do have two guitars over here. There are a PRS and a Jackson Mini, and I hopefully one day I'll learn how to play them one day, you know, but yeah, so if you don't use it, you lose it, and you know, not with bicycles, you know, you can always ride a bike, but so I just wanted to say it'll get much easier talking in front of people, you know, when you mass a lot of podcast interviews, you know. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you're like a professional at it now. Oh, well, I didn't even know you did like keynotes and stuff.
I did.
That's got to be terrifying.
For me, it was, but for me, okay, so I'm the kind of guy who is comfortable around like 200 and above people, you know, if it's. Mm-hmm. If it's a small room between me and 10 people, no. You know, I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm kind of backwards with that, you know. And I'm sure your 10 people was fine for you. 200 people was more like, oh, my God.
No, I'm actually kind of the same way.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like usually like if it feels like one-on-one is usually okay.
Yeah.
But then once it's like 3 to 4 people, I don't know, the social dynamics of it all just gets confusing, I guess. And then on stage, like if I'm performing, it's like I know what the dynamics are because I know I'm supposed to be entertaining people, and I kind of can just drop worrying about thinking about myself, and I'm just like, just be as entertaining as possible. And then it kind of helps when it's more people for some reason.
Right. Yeah. Well, what I find fascinating about you is the fact that you can do songs in less than 10 minutes sometimes, you know, on your YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Because, okay, so which DAW do you use?
For anybody? FL Studio.
Huh?
FL Studio.
Fruit Loops, right?
Fruit Loops.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know what a DAW is, it's Digital Audio Workshop. Did I get that right? Yes.
And that's or workstation, I think. Close enough.
Workshop, it's the same thing, right? Yeah, and that's what musicians use to make music that you hear right now. So you use Fruit Loops, but there's a massive dolls out there, you know? I mean, we have like Logic Pro, GarageBand. I'm actually looking at these. Reaper is a great one. Pro Tools, I guess, is the industry standard, you know?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. So what made FL Studios a good fit for you? Because there's like so many of these, and I know some of them do like mostly different stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you can do all the same things and all the different DAWs. And each one of them has kind of like their own specific advantages. Like I've heard that Logic is really good for like vocal comping, and they have like really good stock orchestral instruments. But FL Studio stuck out to me just because Seven Lions is a producer that was kind of like the catalyst for me wanting to start producing. He does like a melodic dubstep, and he did an interview with Image Lion. And he was showing like a behind the track of one of his songs, and it was in FL. And it just looks like a video game, where a lot of the other ones look a lot more like technical. And I don't know, FL just looked more fun and shiny. So,
well, I checked on Logic Pro because that's a one-time buy, and I feel like, okay, so is FL like a monthly based, or is that like a one-time buy too?
Oh yeah, it's just a one-time payment.
Okay. Yeah, I know,
and you get lifetime free updates too, which is cool.
Right, because I know I think Pro Tools is like a month-to-month base rate. Yeah, because I don't like those month-to-month. You know,
I don't know if I just assumed they were all like a one-time payment fee, but the FL is the only one I've ever bought, so I really don't know.
I'm going to check that out more because I guess FL is more of like a beginner, you know, because when you're beginning, you don't want too much fluff going on, and I think that Logic Pro is kind of like all fluff, and you know,
Yeah, it's hard to say because I've heard a lot of complaints about FL also because and I can kind of get it because FL is almost like it's like backwards from every other DAW, and it's kind of like iPhone and Android where Android you can kind of do like anything, and that's kind of like what FL is,
right?
But there's some customizations that are kind of unnecessary that most people wouldn't actually need to use. And then, I don't know if it's the most beginner friendly or not, but I know a lot of hip hop producers use it, and maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah, but I do know that Taylor Swift uses Logic Pro, so I guess. But that's the only artist that I know that actually uses one over the other. You know, so I don't know if I've heard that too, but. So you released over 200 songs in your musical career, as of right now. You're on Apple Music, Spotify, Deezer, everything, correct?
Yep, yeah, all so that stuff.
Make sure you check that out, everybody. But having released over 200 songs across numerous genres, you know, because you blend different genres together too, right?
Mm-hmm.
How have you found techniques from one genre influencing or enhancing the approach of another genre?
There's a lot of crossovers, especially in like mixing. Because like whenever you're mixing a rock song and like you're trying to get the guitar tone right, a lot of what makes the guitar tone sound good is the bass tone. So getting the bass and the guitar to kind of sit together is what makes what is kind of perceived as the guitar tone. So, and that's kind of the exact same thing in melodic dubstep. Cause, with melodic dubstep, if you haven't heard of that genre, it's like, it's kind of like the Chainsmokers or Zedd, but just like a little bit heavier.
Okay.
And a lot of how to get your super saws to sound really powerful is making the bass sound really powerful. And then it kind of just like going over different genres really helps you see things like with a wider lens because, you know, like in hip hop, a lot of times the bass is an 808. And sorry for the Discord notifications. I tried to turn it off.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, I don't think I see them. Yeah, sorry.
But, so yeah, like the in hip hop, a lot of the times you use 808s is the most common thing for bass.
Right.
But whenever you learn sound design for dubstep and stuff, you can kind of make your own 808s or use a re-space or just really is mostly things I've learned from dubstep kind of bleeds into everything else, if that makes sense. Because like dubstep is just so difficult to produce that you just have to get this really wide lens on sound and like really break it down. And then whenever you go to other genres, you can kind of take that with it.
So is dubstep more like EDM or are they two completely different genres? Cause I'm not sure.
Oh yeah. EDM's the tree.
Party music, right? Yeah.
And dubstep is like a branch on that tree. Okay. This is like a subgenre.
So it's EDM. Okay. So this is my deal. This is like what I ask you because I'm so glad you brought that up. What's with all these subcategories? You know, because you got metal, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have speed, death, doom, chaotic. Like there's so many. I mean, what? I don't know. Okay, so there's a lot of artists that could go under like two or three, you know, but we have so many subcategories, like where did he fall under? Who created these subcategories? You know?
I mean, yeah. I don't know where the fuck it comes from at all. I don't know. I guess people just, maybe it comes from like marketing and like trying to put a box around it, or I really don't know. I never got that.
Weird.
It's kind of, I feel like mental illnesses are kind of the same way.
Yeah. Right. Maybe it's like a, you know, I don't like this category, so I'm going to make my own, and that's where doom metal came out, you know, or like sludge metal, you know, kind of like, you know, but so I've done this with past guests and they loved it. Okay. So what I'm going to do for you right now is I'm going to show you an album. Okay.
Okay.
And you can tell me if, you know, what it means to you, or if you don't like it, if you like it, or what kind of good memories that inspires you. Okay.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm going to kick it off real strong with And Justice for All by Metallica.
Okay.
Yeah.
The oldie.
Yeah, oldie but goodie, right?
Yeah.
So, is this one of your favorites, or do you have any strong memories that, you know, when I showed you this?
Only memory I can think of is my mom was a huge Metallica fan. So I don't know, is And Justice for All, is that the one that has For Whom the Bell Tolls on it?
No, that's Ride the Lightning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a that's the second album. Yeah. I think.
Okay. Let me look up the song list. Yeah. Because there were a couple of Metallica songs I used to listen to on the bus in high school. So really what that makes me think of is my mom in high school.
Okay.
Because she used to blast Master of Puppets in the house and stuff. And she would like sing it. And she was a really passionate music person.
Yeah. Because I think Anjustice had Eye of the Beholder 1. I had the album right here. Let me get it again.
Yeah, I remember hearing one. I don't know if I listened to that album much.
Yeah, so we have a Blackened, And Just for All, I Have the Beholder, The Shortest Straw, Harvester of Sorrow, Freight Ends of Sanity, To Live Is to Die, and Dire's Eve. So, I mean, it's a classic album, but it's not really what, like a strong album. You know, everybody like loves to death, you know.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, I love it more than the Black Album, you know.
Yeah, I think the only song I know from it is One.
What? One? Okay.
Or one song, One.
And The Shortest Straw and Blackened is like the three main songs that I get from when I see that album, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a strong album, you know. And I wish to God they would fix the bass, but they don't care, so I don't care either, right? All right. So, okay, so the next album is going to be Slipknot, Psychosocial. Is this? No, All Hope Is Gone.
Yeah. That was my also
this
in high
is
school.
Great. Yeah.
Dead Memories, All Hope Is Gone, Psychosocial, Snuff.
Yeah. No.
Was Sulfur's on that one too, I think.
Yep.
But yeah, I was a bit of a emotional child inwardly. I would like cry a lot, so I used to love listening to Snuff and just like crying. If I was in a mood.
Yeah.
That was before I discovered like more emo stuff. So I feel like that was kind of my transition over into, that was like a transitional album into more emo stuff.
And then when you listen to emo, you cry some more, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like that brought tears to your ass, but emo really, you know, flushed it out, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. So is that your favorite album from them, or like, is there like another album that surpasses that one?
That's probably my favorite album. I think the
mine too.
But my favorite songs, I think, are from I think it was the self-titled one.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure. The one that had Surfacing.
Yep. Slipknot, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Spit It Out, I think, was on that album too.
Yep.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because that was the first one, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So So those two, Surfacing is definitely my favorite song by them, but the All Hope Is Gone one has is probably what I've listened to the most.
More sentimental, too, yeah.
Yeah, I actually stole that CD from Walmart.
Nice. Well, I mean, I don't know how good it is because, you know, with that Walmart, I believe that those cuss words. I don't know if they did it with that album, you know. The Walmart edition ones, bleep that the bad words.
They might have. I don't remember it being bleeped out, but that was a minute ago. I'm not sure.
I don't know. But. Yeah, so I don't know. But I did not buy middle albums from Walmart just because of that. No.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want any customers to be bleeped out. So. Okay, so my next album is going to be another Metallica one. But this one is their newest one. And it is 72 seasons. I almost said 24. But, 72 seasons. Now, for me, I think they lost track after Reload, you know, because the same anger, you know, drums, you know.
And was that the white one that had, like, the door on it, or?
Yes. Nope, that had the coffin on it.
Yeah, coffin, that's what it was. Yeah.
But after Reload, I think they just went downhill from there, you know. Do you like 72, or do you think it's like,
I've never heard it. I know nothing about it.
Okay, nice, yeah. I don't really dig it, you know, because it's not like the past albums, like, you know, the black one, Reload, Load. I love Load the best out of all of them, but that's just me, you know, so.
All right. Yeah, I never got super into Metallica. It was just like a few songs that I liked that was mainly just because of my mom liking them, and I was impressionable.
Right.
So, like, Nothing Else Matters and Sanitarium, or Welcome Home Sanitarium.
Right. Yeah.
Fade to Black.
All the good tunes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are a very big advocate for AI in music creation, okay?
Yeah.
So what I want to know from you is what technically is AI? Because I think some people would think it's like what you do on YouTube. You know, you put music on a, you know, the DAW, you know, but you don't play anything. You just drag sounds on it, you know. Or the other part would be you putting in like ChatGPT and it comes up with its own thing. You know, which one like stands out more? Do you like with true AI? You know,
yeah, it's pretty much like ChatGPT type of thing, except you put in a text prompt and it just makes music, and you just kind of tell it whatever type of music you want it to make, and then it kind of makes it.
Right.
And I don't have a great understanding of what it actually is, because I know like general artificial intelligence is kind of what most people think of as AI. That's like what's in the movies where it's like, I don't know if it is sentient or it's like borderline sentient, but it's like basically could pass the Turing test and, you know, like make you believe it was a human, which I think Google's LLM already did that. So basically I think it's just they stole a bunch of media and then they like compile it all together and take elements from each one to make new stuff. So I feel like AI at its current stage is just like a blender.
Yeah.
But it can like unblend. Like actually the way like image or no not what's it called? It's something diffusion. I can't remember. Stable diffusion.
Okay.
And basically, as I understand it, it basically takes like white noise, like with like the image prompts or the image AIs and stuff, and it kind of takes away everything from the white noise, like chipping away at a sculpture, until it gets like based on your prompt what you were trying to get it to do. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't understand it completely, to be honest.
I don't think anybody did. I think it's a fun way of making songs and sounds, you know.
Yeah.
But but I don't think it's going to be like a mainstay, you know. I think this is going to be like a fun thing to do up until like 10 more years, you know, because I don't think any AI bot can access the thoughts and feelings of the individual musician, you know.
Yeah,
because people can tell, you know, when you're making bullshit or not, you know. It's like,
yeah,
you
know, so. I definitely believe that. Yeah. So. I don't know. I don't know if it'll stick around or not. It's kind of hard to say. The most thing that I'm excited about it with is like, my brother is a rapper, and so for him, like, to if he wanted to release music, he's got to either buy beats, and the economy is just kind of trash right now, so that's not really an option,
right?
And then he could get free for profit beats, which most of the time aren't as good and also can like run into copyright issues if somebody else releases a song with the same thing. Right. So I'm just really excited for like artists that don't want to learn production, who have all these ideas in their head, but are like restricted by finances and technical knowledge, that they can finally like put stuff out. And I just feel like we're going to be flooded with a lot more music.
Right. Well, technically, since you said that, I think technically that would work out better for individual musicians, more independent ones, you know, because maybe some bigger musician hopefully will find that beat, and hopefully they'll find that individual artist and say, hey, you know, want to work together? Let's do something,
yeah.
You know? So, I mean, anything's possible nowadays, and you never know.
Yeah, true. Yeah. True. So, especially like social media and stuff.
Right, yeah. Because I know more and more different genres are collaborating with each other, you know, country and rap and metal, you know, it's all good stuff. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love to see those meldings of worlds that happen.
Yeah. And I think country and rap works beautifully together, you know. I don't know about you, but I think it's just perfect fit, you know. Within reason, you know.
Yeah.
About the, you know, I don't like all that cussing and rant, but I understand that, you know, the message behind it, you know, it's needed in it, you know. So, so can you give us can you walk through us like a creative process of when producing a music? When you first get started creating music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you, because you create just audio, you don't create any lyrics yet, right? Okay, yeah.
Oh, wait, are you meaning like just when I first started out in general, or like when I'm first working on a song?
Okay, so what I'm asking you is, do you get any inspiration, or do you just like, hey, this would be a great sound to go with this sound, and boom, it happens like that? Or like, do you just get ideas from your past or whatever, you know?
It's kind of been all over the place, and it's changed over the years. The first time I wrote a song was when I was 9, because our dog ran away, which I don't know if he actually got ran over. I can't remember.
Oh, no.
But, yeah.
Hey, don't say that, man. I love dogs, dude. Yeah.
I know my dad told me one of our dogs actually got ran over and didn't run away, but I can't remember which one it was, because we had two dogs, and one of them actually did run away. But either way, so I wrote this country song, because when I was a kid, I was really into country music, which I'm not so much anymore.
Okay. All right.
But, And I don't really know. Like, I wrote the whole song without having any knowledge of like instruments really or anything. Like, I had a keyboard and I would kind of mess around with it, but I didn't know what I was doing. So it really started out from a songwriting perspective. And then when I got older, I learned how to play acoustic guitar and some thrash metal and stuff like that. I would like write thrash metal riffs and stuff. And I would write songs on my acoustic and just like with basic chords and stuff.
Right.
And so back then I would just have like the lyrics just kind of come into my head. Like, I could hear the song in my head already. Right. And I would just try to replicate that with guitar. But now most of the time I'm starting off with an instrumental, and I try to come from a feeling now and try to make that on the instrumental if I can. Like, my favorite thing to do is to like free write, where I just kind of do a stream of consciousness thing on notes on my phone and just kind of wait for something real to come out, even though sometimes nothing really comes out. Sometimes it's just a bunch of gibberish. And then I try to just start from that place or look up samples that have something to do with that emotion. And then other times I just fuck around on the computer and just try to produce by accident by just adding a bunch of effects and just doing stuff you're not supposed to do to try to make some type of cool sound happen. Yeah. Sorry, that was a lot.
But. Yeah, no, it's fine, because, yeah, that's so interesting, because I always wanted to know the inside mind of a musician, you know, because everybody's different, and it's always more entertaining for me to know what their thought process is.
Yeah.
And how it comes out as that, you know. Yeah, that's always super interesting to me, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I wish more like bigger artists would talk about that more.
Yeah, I
don't see a lot of that, and I love learning different people's processes.
Yeah.
And that free writing thing came from one of my favorite artists, Crywolf. He had like a whole course on like writing an album and stuff, and that's one of the things he does is the whole free writing thing.
Yeah, yeah, because I don't know if you like Cannibal Corpse, man. I love them. I love them. And I've been on a big kick. You know, I've been watching their documentaries about, the Rich Spawn, Vicious Plague, you know, how the albums were created and what they went through to make them, you know. It's just so interesting. And I think more artists are doing that now, because I think as fans, we want to see what they go through, you know.
Yeah.
Because, We talked about Metallica earlier, and I become a fan now of Saint Anger, you know, because watching the documentary Some Kind of Monster allowed me to go into their career at that point, you know, and what they went through to make it. So I respect that album more than I did when I first heard it, you know, and I'm sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you see a music video that's really good at like capturing the song and stuff. It like makes you see it different,
right? And you're like, I wonder what was going through the mind when they make the video.
Yeah,
music, you know, yeah, all good though. So you're a freelancer, and I'm sure. Can you tell us how long you've been freelancing?
Yeah. Pretty much. I've been freelancing way longer than I should have been. Like, I started before I was good enough to really charge for services.
Right, yeah.
So at least 9-10 years, something like that.
Okay, yeah. Well, since you started this, you started your YouTube channel, which you amassed 25,000 subscribers right now, which is a big deal, you know. Are you getting more like a paid work from like people who want to work with you and
not at all?
Oh no, dude! We got to get you started, bro. You know, you're great at like being this stuff. Hell yeah, dude! So yeah,
I appreciate that. I think it's just my style of content or something. Okay. I don't know.
And those wicked cool glasses, you know?
Yeah,
because I know because I saw a video of you know, you explained where you got them, because you must have got like tremendously, you know, Amazon is like where you got them from, right? Yeah. Nice. Hell yeah, brother. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, they were pretty cheap too.
Yeah, because I think you said you got like a 3 pair for like $12 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, so with 200 songs under your belt, I know it must be less than half or more than half that didn't make it to the final cut. How do you avoid feeling discouraged when some projects don't take off? Because I know like you know, there's a lot more songs that we haven't heard that you like this is not working out for me.
Yeah. It took a long time to, I think I just reached a breaking point after a certain amount of songs, kind of like a horse getting broken in or something, where it's just like, it's kind of like you just do so many. It feels like to me, it doesn't matter anymore. And, I kind of accepted that, I have to put more effort into the marketing side, which is kind of the whole point of the YouTube stuff, so that eventually I want to go back to promoting my own original music once I have more money coming in and stuff on here. So it's just kind of remembering like why you're making music in the first place, because like when I was a kid writing a country song about my dog running away, it wasn't because I wanted like a million streams. It was because that I had a really strong emotion and I didn't know how to process it. And that was the only way I could. So I stopped tying the success of my songs to I don't know how to word that. I guess I just stopped looking at it as like super important. It's just, as long as I'm making songs that I like or that were fun to make, then like I'm good with it. And I'm going to try to find financial success through other avenues.
Well, I'm going to politely disagree with you right there, because your music is important, you know? And I think, okay, so you might not really realize it now, you know, but somebody might listen to one of your songs, and that's probably going to be the most important thing that he's listened to, you know, probably to save a life or get over a breakup or something, you know. So I think every music, every artist is important, you know, whether or not they think about it that way, you know.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. Sorry, I meant thing. I meant more like the importance of its success, like financially.
Oh, yeah. Well, stuff.
I kind of let go of that side.
Okay. But, yeah. I feel you there. Cause when I started this podcast, I worried about so much about numbers, you know, cause I wasn't I wasn't gaining what I thought. And I've heard, and a lot of people tell me, dude, don't worry about the numbers, you know, you'll get through, you know. Here we are almost 5 years later. We're still doing it, you know? So yeah. So,
that's awesome. I think you got like a few thousand subscribers now, if I'm right. I can't remember.
On my YouTube channel. Yeah. I don't really focus on YouTube. I mean, though I should, you know, I'll probably take from you and get more, better with that, you know, but I'm mainly focused on my audio stuff, but I should get into
YouTube, okay,
you know, because I got a lot of videos backlogged of like interviews like I'm released to, so I think you inspired me to be a better YouTuber, you know.
Okay. Which is great.
yeah All right, so thank you for that. So when you began becoming a producer, because I know a lot of people who are listening might want to become a music producer just like you. What are some good things and what are some bad things that you've learned in the past that you thought you could, you know, that you really wanted to know, but you found out the hard way?
Oh, that's a good question. Damn.
Yeah. Because I guess there's like bad and good. For like everything, you know, when you just
I would say one thing I can think of is like the stuff that you don't want to learn because it seems like it's a little outside of your comfort zone and it's a little like too technical. And you have to like not make music to learn those things, like certain like mixing things or like compression and stuff like that. I think you have to get over those certain hurdles, because like one thing, for example, was like compression. was so scary to me because it was so fucking complicated.
Right.
And I feel like I still don't have a complete understanding of it. I mean, I understand how to use a compressor, but all the technical stuff behind it, I don't completely understand. So I would say with those things, it's really important because once you do learn those things, it takes a lot of time up front. But once you get good at it, it saves you a lot of time because basically what a compressor is doing is taking like the loudest and the quietest points and kind of pushing them together to get like a more even volume.
Right.
So before I understood compression, what I would do with my songs is I would automate the volume for the entire vocal. And that would take like hours and hours of just like tedious work. And if I would have just sat down and fucking how to use a compressor, like I could have saved myself so much time.
Right. Exactly. Hours and hours of work. Yeah. But I know that there's a positive things going on there, you know. I mean, it could be something as simple as watching somebody listening to music. And they're like, oh, crap, this is really, really good, you know.
Yeah.
So, what are the positive sides of that as opposed to, you know, the negative, you know?
Of like starting or like producing music
like now what would be more of your like success, I guess, is what you say, you know, is it hearing that somebody listens to your music and really liking it, you know, some consider that a success, you know, or would it be just the completion of a song, an album, you know, what's your idea of the word success for you?
Oh, okay. Right now is with everything, it's very financially focused just because I'm struggling out here.
We all are. Yeah.
But I would say for anybody that's just starting out, I think finishing songs is definitely a big win because that's the hardest thing for a lot of people, and like the perfectionism and trying to get stuff done, you know? So, I feel like just finishing a song, if you like it, is like, that's definitely a big win because that already sets you apart from a lot of people. And definitely releasing it. I feel like, pregnant when I have songs unreleased and it like drives me crazy. I'm like, I have to have this baby.
I get it out.
Labor.
Yeah. I get you. You know? Yeah. There was a question I was going to ask you, but I totally forgot it. But I'll probably find it out, you know. So I do have four more questions for you, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. And I do thank you again for coming back on first time ever. So how old are you right now? Because you seem to be like 35. Did I get that right?
Oh, 31.
31. I'm sorry, I made you older, right? Okay, cool. So we'll go back to 14-year-old Chill Panic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're inside your room. You're looking at your room. What musical posters are we looking at?
Or any? The only music poster I had was Bob Marley, but I never even listened to him. But I just started smoking weed around that time, so I was like, Bob Marley.
Oh yeah, right.
Sick.
Right. So that
that, I had like no posters.
No, okay, well that's fine. I don't think I had very many posters because my dad is a retired colonel, so we lived in state to state every 4 to 6 years. So I, you know, by the time I had a poster, I took it down and we moved again, you know?
Yeah.
So that was pretty rough, you know? But, all right. So my next question is, okay, so we're going to do a Mount Rushmore of your favorite artists. So yeah, four of your favorite artists, who would they be?
Oh, okay. Definitely Crywolf. He does like indie electronic stuff and he just, his lyrics are like, they're magical. They're like a fantasy novel in song form. So Crywolf for sure, Linkin Park. Mm-hmm. I just respect them so much for changing their sound so much, and they just just ahead of their time.
Can I go off that? What do you think about what do you think about their new singer Emily?
Oh, I don't really
get Emily Armstrong from Dead Sarah, you know?
Yeah. I know people were really up in arms about that because of
some people really hated.
Something about her supporting, I forgot his name, the guy that played Hyde from That 70s Show.
Oh yeah.
I mean I don't really listen to it, but also haven't listened to Linkin Park in a while. It's not as much my style because it just sounds more, I don't know, it sounds like rock radio stuff. It just, I don't know.
It sounds like today's music, right? Instead of 14 years ago, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Damn, yeah, that doesn't make me feel old.
Me too, man. I'm 45, you know, so that, yeah, so, okay.
Damn, that's wild. You don't look 45.
Thank you. Yeah, because I get a lot of 16-year-old. I'm like, really? So I might bite with the beard shaved, you know? So, okay, so who is your third Mount Rushmore artist?
I'd have to put Linkin Park. I mean,
well, that's second, right? Yeah.
Lamb of God.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
I was their Ashes of the Wake album. I used to listen to it like every day.
Yeah.
And that helped me a lot with learning how to play guitar because I just would play their songs over and over again.
Right.
And Omerta was my.
Oh my God! Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And Redneck was a great song for me.
Oh yeah.
Loved Redneck and of course what was that? Laid to Rest.
Oh, you know, yeah.
That was a staple of like Guitar Hero back in the day.
Yeah.
I used to jam in that all day long with on Guitar Hero, yeah.
That's Guitar Hero too, I think.
Yep. But going off of Lamb of God, I just want to sidebar here. Now when Pantera Dimebag Church legally pass away, you know. A lot of people are saying that Lamb of God was the new Pantera. Did you agree with that? You know, because I look at them as they're not Pantera, they're Lamb of God. You can't, you know, because you know.
Yeah, I feel like at the time, even though I was really young when that happened, because I remember my dad had a subscription to, what was it, Guitar World? Was that the name of the magazine?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. Guitar World.
Yeah, and I remember seeing the cover with Dimebag Darrell on it, and I was like, Dimebag Darrell? That's a funny name. Who's that? And so, So I feel like Pantera was like a transition kind of from like Metallica type of thrash metal to like Lamb of God and Slayer type of thrash, because like, or even Slayer is kind of more in that Pantera-y area, in my opinion. But I haven't listened to as much Slayer as I have Lamb of God. So
Slayer was the only concert that I've ever walked out of. Not because it sucked. It ruled, you know. But if I took longer than what I did, my eardrum would have burst open. They were so loud.
Oh, yeah.
And it was in the House of Blues, Myrtle Beach.
Uh-huh.
But they, oh, my God, they were huge. They were loud, so I had to walk out. Yeah, but that was the only concert that I ever walked out on, you know.
Oh yeah, I always Slayer. Wear earbuds to concerts now.
I have to start doing that because you know these guys aren't gonna heal themselves, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what's your fourth? Lamb of God was your third. You got one more.
I'd probably have to say Skrillex.
Skrillex. Okay.
Just because I found dubstep when I was probably 16 or 17 was when I first heard Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites. And before that, I'd heard like some really like underground dubstep, like Crispy and Datsik. Well, he was underground at that time. Well, now he's canceled. But rightfully so, though.
Fair enough, right?
Yeah. And like Dr. P and stuff like that. And then Skrillex kind of took this like really niche underground thing and kind of like brought it to the mainstream. And he did it in a really good way too, because he didn't just make it more popular, he also innovated on it like a lot. Like when Scary Monsters first came out, like nobody knew how to make all those sounds and stuff, and people were just kind of like blown away, and there would be like shitty YouTube tutorials about how to do the bass that was never right. But so yeah, just his like innovation with electronic music, Skrillex is definitely up there.
Skrillex does some amazing stuff with the band Korn, you know.
Oh yeah,
remember? I think it's Word Up. No. It's on one of their albums. I forget which one, but that like blew me away, you know. So
yeah, that was the first time I ever heard some electronic mixed with metal. Yeah, it was just like, yes.
Yeah, right. You're like, oh my god, this is great stuff. You know, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do have one more question for you, and this might be the hardest question for tonight.
Okay.
Is there one song, album, or singer that you can listen to, but you can't tell me, your mom, dad, your friends, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
Oh, damn. That is a tough one.
Yeah. This is what I always ask, you know, at the very end, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so a song or album that...
Or a singer, you know.
Or singer that makes me feel some way deep down that...
But you can't...
I wouldn't...
That you can't express how it makes you feel, you know.
Oh, okay. So, like, I can't express how it makes me feel because it feels so amazing, or because, like...
You just get like this rush of like happiness and like calmness and just, you know, yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me think about this one.
Yeah. See, I told you it was the hardest question.
It's definitely Cry Wolf.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Is there like a certain song or just his whole?
There's a few songs that Windswept is really good.
Okay.
And there's, I can't remember, Ribcage, the acoustic version. That one just, that one gives me the most chills out of anything he's done.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it. I just got cold.
it's got shivers, right? Yeah. So, and that's the perfect answer, because technically I just asked you, is there a song that you can't explain and you can't explain? Yeah. So that's an awesome response. You know? Hell yeah. So, but let's give you some shout outs before we go. You can view Chill Panic. You can go to his Patreon, patreon.com/chillpanic. And you have one tier, and they can just decide on however much they want to spend, right?
Oh, yeah. I have one. I do have a free tier, but it's only got like it's got one or two sample packs on it. But yeah, the homie tier with everything is $5 a month.
Okay, yeah, and that's where to go? Patreon. Okay, so again, it's patreon.com/chillpanic. Mm-hmm. Chill Panic together, you know. And then we have his YouTube channel, youtube.com/@chillpanic, also where you can see his amazing tutorials on how he makes like a Creed song in like under 10 seconds or something. You know, it's amazing. I just love watching it, you know. And so do we have like a website yet, or is it coming in the future, or do you have any plans for any kind of
I eventually want to get a website up. I tried Shopify and it was just, I'm just so bad at it. I'm gonna just wait until I can afford to pay a web designer.
Right.
I don't fucking understand.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Money is very hard to come by now. So
yeah.
And he's also on Spotify and Apple Music. Just look for Chill Panic. He's got a lot of albums, a lot of singles and EPs. So make sure you check out that. And we're on TikTok or no? Instagram.
I'm on TikTok. I don't post there much, but
because who understands TikTok, right? Not me. I don't understand it. Yeah. So okay. Well, Mr. Chill, if I can call you that.
Sure.
Thank you so much for coming on, and we encourage you to come back anytime you want to. You know,
and
maybe one day we'll collaborate on something. You know, who knows? You know,
sure.
That is the limit. You know, and I love seeing great content, and I think you make some of the best on YouTube. You know, so
I appreciate that for real.
Yeah, sure. Okay, and for everybody listening, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and always remember when the words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.